Well, folks, we'll start right now with the interview of Molly Flohn for the Spirit Mountain Recreation and our Area Authority. Hello, Molly. My name is Azrina. I use she, they pronouns. I'm an at-large city, Duluth City Councilor. And I have about 7 questions for you. We have 15 minutes. And after we go through the questions, it's open to the other councilors to ask a couple of questions. Sounds good to you?
Sounds great.
Thank you so much. Question 1, do you have any personal or financial interest, direct or indirect, with the Spirit Mountain Recreation Area Authority, or are you engaged in any capacity whereby a conflict of interest may arise?
I am, so I do not have one, but I did bring this up to Ann and Jim as well, as I am a manager at Integris. So we do some of their help desk. We are not in charge of like any of their POS systems or anything, but any of their systems of management. I'm not on the sales side either. I'm on the help desk side, and they said that there wouldn't be a conflict there, and that none of those decisions are brought to the board anyways, and if there is any, I'll obviously abstain from it.
Ms. Flohn, would you actually, do you want to take about 30 seconds to introduce yourself and why you applied? I apologize, I jumped right into the questions.
Yeah, no problem. I am Molly Flohn. I am currently a manager at Integris. We were formerly CompuDyne, so right a couple of blocks away. And then before then, I was a manager. So my whole career, I've been a manager in either IT or retail. So before that, I was at Duluth Pack and their manager and helped with the revamp and remodel there.
Thank you so much. It actually perfectly goes into this question too. If you want to just extend briefly on it, please give a brief outline of your educational and work experience and how will your educational and background experience be a benefit in relation to the Spirit Mountain Recreation and Area Authority Board.
Yeah, so as I said, my whole background is in management. My school history was at the University of Minnesota, Carlson School of Management for Business. So that's where I got my degree. Started out with Apple for their management in the cities, originally from the North Shore, had to come back. So sadly left Apple to return to home and Lake Superior because that had a stronger calling. And then was at Duluth Pack. And that is where, which will be also very beneficial here, is there's that retail management, operations management experience and expertise where when we redid a remodel, they also were like stagnant with sales. Do we want to grow? Do we want to make investments? So there's a lot of presenting to the board and getting buy-in of here's the money to do a remodel. Here's the design. I helped design it all in-house. We did not have anyone out source that. So did all the sales analytics, all the planning, and presented them like, yeah, this is going to be a good return on investment and show how we could improve even more sales per square foot in that store.
Thank you. And why are you interested in serving on this particular board, being the Spirit Mountain Recreation and Authority?
Yeah, so this is actually I'm very passionate about the outdoors. I think it is a huge value to the area. I know that there has been a lot of strong feelings one way or the other over the past few years. And I am very passionate that it stays strong in the community, especially for families and having this access for all of our local community and our tourism to continue to grow Duluth and be an asset here.
Thank you. Do you foresee any personal scheduling conflicts which may prevent you from attending the regular meetings of the Spirit Mountain Recreation Area Authority?
I do not.
What do you consider the personal strengths you would bring to the Spirit Mountain Recreation Area Authority?
Yeah, I am a very driven person, and I also do have some background. And I know there's some big discussions about what to do with like the chalet at Spirit Mountain. And so having some of that expertise and some of that experience there of how do we design things to actually be profitable and utilize any small spaces. So then I'm also very driven. So it is where it's like status quo. There's always growth. There's always that visionary, where can we take this? Because just because it's great today or successful today does not mean it's going to be successful in 3 years, 5 years, 10 years. So you never can get comfortable and always make sure that you are staying up with the future.
Thank you. Are you present presently serving on any other boards or commissions, and if so, which ones?
I'm not a board member, but I am the administrative assistant for the Canal Park Business Association.
Is there anything else you would like to add concerning your possible appointment to the Spirit Mountain Recreation Area Authority Board?
This just excites me. I think the Spirit Mountain is a great thing to have in Duluth, and being able to be a part of some big discussions and changes that are going to be happening there to benefit the area is very exciting for me.
Thank you, Ms. Sloan. We have some counselor questions for you. I'll start with Counselor Forsman.
Thank you, Ms. Sloan. And as the resident counselor who serves on the Spirit Mountain Board, I just want to thank you for your interest. I was going to ask you about whether you were aware of some of the discussions we're having about chalet design, and you clearly are.
Yes.
And actually, we just talked about lines and retail and point of sale systems and all that a couple nights ago. So I think you would add a lot of value to that discussion and would absolutely be in support based on what I've heard of you joining us. So thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. I'll wait a couple of seconds for any other counselors. Counselor, President Kennedy.
Thank you, Chair Aul. Thank you for applying and being here. There was a conversation that you had started about there could be some conflict of interest or some close relationships where people can maybe perceive that you may be doing something wrong. How do you think that you are able to navigate that? So what part of the and what kind of conversations for us as counselors who would support you to be on the Spirit Mountain Board can help you to navigate any of those questions or any of those issues?
Yeah, I think it's and why I brought it up, too, is just full transparency. Like, I have no ownership in that company. I am not connected to sales in that company at all. Like, I am very removed from any of those conversations that have. And I manage very much the technicians and the service team. So it's like I do manage the people that are helping the Spirit Mountain when they're putting in a request. So I want to make sure that I'm just very transparent and open so that there isn't people being like, well, why didn't we know about that before? So I think just being that open and transparency about it is what's important.
If I may follow up, there are some folks who maybe are not as supportive of Spirit Mountain. How would you have those conversations? Because they may throw all kinds of darts and arrows at you.
Yes, they are very, very strong opinions. And I think it's just also navigating them calmly. Like, I have these conversations with my friends, and it even came up a couple weeks ago where we were talking about skiing with our kids and Spirit Mountain came up, and then they're like, well, about Montelac and Spirit Mountain's not paying their bills. And I like immediately was just like, well, have you been paying attention to like what's truly happening and not just what the media is reporting? And just being able to be confident and say like, here's actually data and here's numbers and here's the truth and not just what you're hearing out in the world. And I think that's what's really important too of being on a board is being that public advocate and being able to talk with your the people that you work with your circles, with your friends, and being that advocate of, no, like, Spirit Mountain is good. Like, it is great. There has been some controversy around it in the past, but they are doing everything they can because this is very important to our area.
I do have a follow-up, unless somebody else is in the queue, I can wait.
Please go ahead, President Kennedy.
Well, just to continue on that conversation, I could hear some people saying, you just pick somebody that loves Spirit Mountain. Are you going to be able to be objective when you need to be objective?
Yes.
We'll wait a few seconds to see if there's any other counselors in queue. And meanwhile, I thank you so much for, you know, stepping up to serve on our boards and commissions. We always appreciate when constituents step forward and get it, and put their invest their time and effort into our city. So very much appreciate coming to our council chambers on this snowy day. I don't see any other questions in the queue. So thank you so much, Ms. Sloan. The appointment of Molly Sloan to the Spirit Mountain Recreation and Authority Board by for the term expiring in June 30th, 2026, will be voted on Monday, this following Monday's council meeting. Thank you so much. And adjourned.
Thank you.
Oh,
no, it's all good. How do I clear it?
All clear speakers?
Okay. What was it doing?
I didn't know how to use it. So.
It's got its quirks.
After each other.
Got to establish your own norm.
No, he was
yeah,
sleeping.
We had our system. We'll have your own. I worked. I did council mics. And he did everybody.
What you doing over there? What? Oh, that's we should be done. I'll send him letters. Huh?
Yeah,
crash it through here and stuff.
What are you doing way over there? I want to bomb you. She doesn't like this. Is Gary over on that side? He must be.
Yeah.
Oh, where's...
Yeah.
And who?
Noah's okay. His favorite. Oh.
You guys did up right now. Like it?
I kind of like that I can look outside. I've never.
Have you ever sat on that side?
Yes.
Ooh, you may be the mayor someday.
No.
The mayor? Mayor Hobbs? I thought he was just kidding. I'm fat too or something. I said, why did you do
kind of a shtick, isn't it?
Okay. If I'm ready. Minutes or is it 5:15? I feel like am I? Counselors, we're going to start here in a minute. You want to take your chairs? Okay, we will get this agenda session on. Ready? You hear my voice? We're starting. I'll use the gavel. It'll help y'all. We will get started. I do want to let folks know, though, we'll have a public hearing on Monday about the unmanned aerial systems. We also have a committee of the whole for that. And what time does that start again? That starts at 5:45. And then at 6:30, we have another committee of the whole, CDBG, home, and ESG funding. The first committee of the whole does require a public hearing, which starts at 7 p.m. So we will move on to our first item, Vice President Randorf, under the Finance Committee.
Minneapolis Duluth Superior Passenger Rail Alliance to be used for legislative efforts in St. Paul.
Councilors, we have Councilor Hobbs. I have to get.
Thank you, President Kennedy. Does administration have, I mean, I've kept up to date on reading what's been public about this, but do we feel very optimistic that NLX will be finally a thing I can ride on?
President Kennedy, Councilor Hobbs, I'm reluctant to offer a prognostication on this, but I think it is probably reasonable to suggest that this is the best opportunity that we have had to date to make this a success, and certainly from the administration standpoint, this is on our legislative agenda as a top priority, and in this case, this item is supplemental to the funding that's already been provided, and as you'll see from the attachment, is a request from the county and Board Chair Boyle for additional funds to help with lobbying on behalf of the project. And so without offering a prediction, I would say that we're in the best possible shape, and this is putting the overall alliance in the best possible position to strongly advocate.
And then just a follow-up on that, does this additional funding provide an additional seat for Duluth on the NLX board during this year?
President Kennedy, Councilor Hobbs, it does not specifically do that, and certainly if that is something you wish to speak with Alliance members and Commissioner Boyle about, I would encourage you to do that.
I'll follow up with the good Commissioner. Thank you.
Councilor Mayo.
Thank you, President Kennedy. I had a similar question, just to dive a little deeper on the last night we had a MIC meeting, and I heard at that meeting maybe the governor's budget proposal with prioritizing some more people-based policy might kind of put this as a secondary thing potentially on priorities for them this year. And then I don't know, is there any word on speed of the train if that piece is still being figured out? I know that was a concern that was also brought up last night about what folks would like to see out of that.
President Kennedy, Council Mayor, I don't have any specifics on that.
Okay, thanks.
Any other councilors? I do have a comment. So I currently serve on the NLX. I would definitely love to have another councilor on that committee. I would say that there are opportunities for any one of us to attend the NLX meeting and to ask questions. So have a desire for more in-depth questions, you could come to that committee meeting. I can get you the time when that is. It actually is actually next Wednesday in the morning, and they have a Zoom online link. But if you can connect with me, I can get you that time. Any other counselors? Next item, Counselor Alstead.
Thank you, President Kennedy. Item number 8, Resolution 8, a resolution authorizing an annual contract for original equipment manufacturer OEM parts, supplies, and labor for 2023 from Ziegler Inc. for an amount not to exceed $250,000. Item number 9, Resolution 9, a resolution authorizing an annual contract for original equipment manufacturer OEM parts, supplies, and labor for 2023 from Mid-State Truck Service, Inc. for an amount not to exceed $185,000. Item number 10, Resolution 45, a resolution approving issuance of a temporary on-sale intoxicating liquor license to various licensees. And item number 11, Resolution 46, a resolution approving issuance of an on-sale intoxicating liquor license to the Minnesota Ballet.
Thank you. Any questions, councilors, for purchasing and licensing? Councilor Mayo, your hand is still up. Seeing none, we'll move on to Councilor Owl, personnel.
Thank you, Kennedy. Item 12, Resolution 67, resolution of confirming the appointment of Molly Flone to the Spirit Mountain Recreation Area Authority.
Thank you, Councilor Owl. Any questions, councilors? Not seeing any. Councilor Anderson is absent today. Councilor Randolph, can you read in for Councilor Anderson?
Yeah, I sure can, President.
Vice President Randolph.
Yeah, I sure can. Item 13 is Resolution 55, is a resolution approving the 2023 Annual Action Plan and authorizing a request for HUD Federal Community Development Block Grant, CDBG, Home Program, Home, and Emergency Solutions Grant Program, ESG Program funds. Item 14, Resolution 56, is a resolution authorizing a request for HUD Federal Community Development Block Grant, CDBG, funds for the 2023 program year, authorizing agreements with the appropriate agencies. Resolution 57 is a resolution authorizing a request for HUD Home Investment Partnership funds for the 2023 program year, authorizing agreements with the appropriate agencies. Resolution 58 is a resolution authorizing a request for HUD Emergency Solutions Grants Programs, ESG funding, for the 2023 program year, authorizing contracts, authorizing agreements with the appropriate agencies. Resolution 59 is a resolution authorizing reprogramming of $7,000 of funds from the 2020 Community Development Block Grant Program and $739.26 from the 2021 Community Development Block Grant Program for the 2023 Community Development Block Grant or the Duluth Property Rehab Program. Resolution 60 is a resolution authorizing reprogramming of $23,628.03 of home funds from the 2020 Home Program for the Homeless Rental Assistance Program operated by the Duluth Housing Authority to the 2023 Community Land Trust New Construction Program operated by One Roof Community Housing. Resolution 61 is a resolution authorizing reprogramming of $16,000 of ESG funds from the 2022 Emergency Solutions Program for the 2023 Emergency Solutions Program Safe Haven Shelter Program. Resolution 62 is a resolution authorizing reprogramming of $22,438.71 of Emergency Solutions Grant ESG-CD1 funds from the HRA Eviction Prevention Program to the Safe Haven Shelter Program. Resolution 63 is a resolution authorizing a professional services agreement with the Arrowhead Economic Opportunity Agency, providing staffing and services at the Duluth Care Force Center. And finally, Resolution 75 is a resolution authorizing the city to enter in to a joint powers agreement with the State of Minnesota Department of Employment and Economic Development, providing staffing services at the Duluth Career Force Center.
Thank you, Vice President Randolph. And I just want to remind councilors, or let you know, that items 13, 14, 15, and 16 are part of the Committee of the Whole on Monday. So if you have any in-depth questions, we can wait till then. But I will yield to see if anyone has any questions on planning and economic development items. Not seeing any, I will read under my Committee of the Whole, item number 23, a resolution approving agreement with Freiberger, Buchanan, Smith, and Frederick A. for legislative services not to exceed $72,000. Councilor Forsman.
Thank you, President Kennedy. Mr. Sheffman, I just had two questions. So first question was just around timing of when this resolution comes forward. We're already in the middle of session. Would it be typical that the city would do it now, or in the future might we look at doing it before session starts in the event that we made a change? And then the second question is just that I didn't see that it was put out for bid in the body of the resolution. Maybe I missed it, but I'm just curious if we ever do consider other entities for that.
President Kennedy, Councilor Forsman, I think typically we have brought this resolution forward with the legislative agenda so that they're kind of paired up. That didn't happen this time. It just didn't happen. It wasn't, there's no intent behind that other than that it just kind of slid. When it comes to putting it out for bid, that is not a conversation we had this time around, in part because the long running relationship we have with Mr. Ritchie specifically has been very fruitful, and that continuity is very helpful. But certainly that's something we could consider in the future. I will say what it's worth from my perspective that we get a tremendous bang for our buck with this, which I don't believe is actually the question you're asking, but I do think we get a great deal from this contract, and Mr. Ritchie's continuity and expertise is really valuable. And so we essentially just didn't consider that for that reason.
Sure. And I think Mr. Ritchie's terrific. I just also think it's healthy to evaluate those things from time to time. So that's all I had. Thanks.
Thank you, Council Forsman. Councilors, any other questions? Seeing none, we'll move on to Councilor Mayo, Public Works and Utilities.
Thank you, President Kennedy. Item 24, Resolution 6, is authorizing an agreement between the City of Duluth and the Minnesota Department of Transportation for utilities and construction. Number 25, Resolution 12, is authorizing an agreement between the City of Duluth and the Minnesota Department of Transportation for maintenance of sidewalk adjacent to Trunk Highway 23 from 1.535 miles east of Trunk Highway 210 to Trunk Highway 39 within the corporate city limits under State Project Number 6910-105, TH23 equals 185, MnDOT Contract Number 1051989. Item 26, Resolution 40, is authorizing the purchase of 9,500 tons of road salt from Morton Salt Incorporated in the amount of $583,277. Item 27, Resolution 47, is authorizing a five-year master services agreement with Braun Intertech Corporation for professional geotechnical and material testing services for an annual estimated amount of $150,000 and a total contract amount not to exceed $750,000. Item 28, Resolution 53, is authorizing the purchase of a pre-insulated pipe, fittings, valves, and accessories for the First Avenue East Reconstruction Project from Armor Valve Incorporated in the amount of $319,265.10. Resolution 54, Item 29, authorizing a five-year master services agreement with Alliant Engineering Incorporated for professional traffic engineering services for an annual amount of $50,000 and a total contract amount not to exceed $250,000. Item 30, Resolution 65, is authorizing acceptance of a hazard mitigation assistance program through the Minnesota Department of Public Safety, Homeland Security, and Emergency Management Division to provide backup power to the city's water treatment plant. Item 31, Resolution 66, is authorizing a five-year master services agreement with EPC Engineering and Testing for professional geotechnical and material testing services for an annual amount of $150,000 and a total contract not to exceed $750,000. Item 32, Resolution 68, is authorizing a five-year master services agreement with Twin Ports Testing Incorporated for professional geotechnical and material testing services for an annual amount of $150,000 in a total contract not to exceed $750,000. Item 33, Resolution 69, is authorizing a five-year master services agreement with Short Elliott Henderson Incorporated for professional survey and field data collection services for an estimated amount of $50,000 and a total contract not to exceed $250,000. Item 34, Resolution 70, is authorizing a five-year master services agreement with LHB Incorporated for professional survey and field data collection services for an estimated annual amount of $50,000 and a total contract amount not to exceed $250,000. And finally, item 35, Resolution 74, is authorizing a five-year master services agreement with WSB and Associates Incorporated for geotechnical and material testing survey and field data collection services for an estimated annual amount of $200,000 and a total contract amount not to exceed $1 million, and if I may, President Kennedy.
Go ahead, Councilor Mayo.
Question about item 25. I believe that's related to an agreement between us and MnDOT for maintenance of that sidewalk chunk. I was just curious about where we're at capacity-wise with taking on some more sidewalk, and from my understanding of reading that agreement, is that us agreeing to maintain it so long as MnDOT builds it? Is my understanding of that correct?
President Kennedy, Council Mayo, that is correct. The maintenance of the sidewalk is something that the city would take on, but it would be treated similarly to other city streets, and wherein the adjacent property owner would have responsibility for the clearing of the sidewalk, and as we get to a point of replacement, that's where that type of thing comes in. But you are reading that correctly. The city would, MnDOT would build, and then we are responsible longer term for ongoing maintenance of both the roadway and the sidewalk.
Fantastic. And then one follow-up question, if I may. Just all of the contracts we've got here, I think it's item like 31 through 35. Are those just annual renewals of those contracts for kind of as-needed services that we might need for Public Works?
President Kennedy, Councilor Mayo, that is correct. This is six or seven of them. They're each five-year agreements with estimated amounts per year, and then not to exceed that totals the five-year estimated amount. And what that does is allows for staff to tap into those services quickly and as needed, rather than individual agreements each time that then come through the council and spend staff and your time to bring those things through. And if there are additional, more specific questions on that, City Engineer Cindy Boyd is here and can speak to that with more professional capacity than I can, but that is a good summary of what we're doing there.
Sure. Thank you.
Any other questions, councilors? Go to Councilor Hobbs, Recreation, Libraries, and Authorities.
Thank you, President Kennedy. Resolution 73, authorizing application to the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency for $100,000 for a planning grant for stormwater, wastewater, and community resilience planning for a stormwater needs analysis for Spirit Mountain. Resolution 76, authorizing the purchase of real property from BNSF Railway Company in the Irving neighborhood for $67,000 plus related costs in an amount up to $2,500 for a total amount not to exceed $69,500. Resolution 77, accepting a permanent easement for the Lake Superior Center Authority for the construction, operation, repair, and maintenance of a seawall and related apparatus affecting the real property near Bayfront Festival Park for nominal consideration. Resolution 95, supporting extension of an existing 0.5% increment in the City of Duluth Food and Beverage Tax and the City of Duluth Lodging Tax for the purpose of funding up to $36 million in capital improvements to the park-based public athletic facilities in support of sports, tourism, and quality of life in Northeast Minnesota.
Councilor Hobbs, you have your hand up. Did you want to speak yet?
No.
I believe I see Councilor Randall.
Thank you, President Kennedy. Item 38, Resolution 77. Can you tell us a little bit of who Lake Superior Center Authority is?
President Kennedy, Vice President Randorf, that is the Great Lakes Aquarium.
Item was up.
And another follow-up question, if I may.
Yes, can you tell me which item you were just...
38.
Thanks.
Yeah. And then a follow-up question on item 39, if I can. Following the paper trail for that 0.5% tax, do we approve that every 3 years, or how often does this come up?
President Kennedy, Vice President Randorf, the half-and-half tax has been in place since 2014 and was intended to fund $18 million in investment at that time. This is a proposed extension of that. This action is required by the this action is to make clear to the legislature that the ask for that extension, which has been approved by the council as part of the legislative agenda, is something that the council is comfortable with and on board with. And so that is what the purpose of this specific resolution is. But this would extend that existing tax out for an additional 30 years and allow us additional resources to do work on park-based public athletic facilities and in support of sports tourism in this.
I see. So it's an additional 30 years, and it goes through, it first comes on here so that it's a cursory yes, and then it comes back to us once the state has to approve this, right?
President Kennedy, Vice President Randorf, yes, the state has to approve the extension, and then I would defer to Attorney St. George on what further process there may be. So I'll turn it over to you.
Thank you, President Kennedy. I actually don't know right now, but I will look into it and get back to you.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Vice President Randorf.
Thank you, President Kennedy. I had a similar question, kind of tying item 37 into that as well. If we do not get our request to support that extension approved by the state legislature, does that impact Resolution 76, Item 37, of purchasing that real property from BNSF? Because I believe it was part of the funds, I think, when I was reading that resolution. Maybe correct me if I'm wrong.
President Kennedy, Councilor Mayo, no, it would not impact that current work. We already are receiving tax revenue from the existing tax, and so we would be using that existing money.
Fantastic. And then, if I may, just one follow-up on item 37 again. With the purchase of that real property, is there any anticipated date when we might be able to start on the extension of that? I believe the Cross City Trail is going through that section.
President Kennedy, Councilor Mayo, that is planned for 2023, and we can certainly get you more specifics on a proposed timeline for that.
Fantastic.
Thank you. Councilor Forsman.
Thank you, President Kennedy. I am not asking for this tonight, but I just wanted to plant the seed in case it is either in the works or might make some sense. But obviously, Resolution 95 could be a fairly large deal. I see Director Philby Williams is out there, but would it make sense to get a little bit more information at some point for the council about what this would potentially entail? And I could see some overlap with the parks referendum last year on the levy request, and maybe just clarifying what this is in relation to what that was would be helpful for us.
President Kennedy, Councilor Forsman, I will chat with Director Philby Williams about the best way to provide you a summary of what the difference between the two things is and what the potential use here is. I think this is a request we likely would have made even if the referendum had passed as part of our recognition of the real significant long-term needs in this area. But we will figure out the best way to get more information to you. And if there's a need to do a committee meeting on that, we can have that conversation and figure out what the council needs to have information you might.
Sure. Need. That makes sense. And I recognize this is only capital, so I know that there's a difference on some things, but that would be helpful. Thank you.
I do have a follow-up. Does that look like this, if this passes, this resolution would still go through and then we do the committee of the whole, or are we going to hold off?
President Kennedy, we do have actually some timeliness to this. This is something that we need to have in hand by the end of the month for the legislature's work. So the sequence would be this resolution first, followed by additional information as we move forward.
Attorney St. George.
Thank you, President Kennedy. I found the answer to some of your questions. If you approve this resolution, then this gets submitted to the Senate and House Tax Committee. Once that legislative approval is given, you would revise and reaffirm. So it would come back to you again.
Any other councilors have any questions on any of these items? Like, we're at the end of the consent agenda, and we have some ordinances to be read for the first time. So, Clerk Johnson, will you read those in?
Item 40, Ordinance 1 is an ordinance amending Sections 50-20, Use Specific Standards, 50-21, Dimensional Standards, 50-36, Reviewers and Decision Makers, 50-37, Review and Approval Procedures, 50-38, Nonconformities, and 50-41, Definitions related to dwelling, front entrances, parking for vacation dwelling units, accessory home shares, accessory solar panels, accessory structures / decks, and appeals. Item 41, Ordinance 2 is an ordinance amending the official zoning map of the City of Duluth to reclassify 0.7 acres from residential traditional R1 to residential urban R2 adjacent to platted Elizabeth Street. And item 42, Ordinance 3 is an ordinance authorizing the Duluth Airport Authority to accept federal and state of Minnesota grants for improvements to the Duluth International Airport and Sky Harbor Airport and to execute grant documents on behalf of the city for year 2023.
Thank you, Clerk Johnson. And I believe it's my mistake. We could have taken these one at a time, but I'm learning as well along with y'all. I do see Councilor Mayo in the queue.
Thank you, President Kennedy. Item 41, Ordinance 2. I was curious if we will be having a presentation about that rezoning. I don't know if that's typical because I know this isn't coming forward as an appeal. It's just a flat-out rezoning request of us to have more context on that, or if we should just plan to refer to Planning Commission notes.
President Kennedy, Councilor Mayo, I don't believe we have anything specific planned, but should you have questions, in addition to Planning Commission notes, Deputy Director Fulton and staff are happy to chat with you offline about any questions you might have.
Fantastic. Thanks.
Any other councilors on any item? Vice President Randorf.
Thank you, President Kennedy. I do have a question on item 40. Parking for, and it's in just one of the items here, the parking for vacation dwelling units, if I may. It says that in form districts, we were previously exempt from providing parking because the district isn't. But we are now adding parking back into that. Is that what I'm understanding this is to mean?
President Kennedy, Vice President Randorf, I'm going to ask Deputy Director Fulton to speak to that. We've gone well past my expertise on this specific item.
Thank you, President Kennedy, Vice President Randorf. The intent here is to clarify a standard related to form districts. Form districts do not typically have a parking requirement, similar to our downtown areas. And so this does clarify that parking requirement for vacation dwelling units in the form districts.
Thus removing the requirement.
That's correct. That was the intent of the ordinance throughout the process and retains that consistency within the form district standards.
Thank you.
Mr. Fulton, I do have a follow-up question. Obviously, folks park in the districts. What is the ability to enforce or to support neighbors if parking gets out of hand, is illegal?
Thank you, President Kennedy. Councilors, the intent here is that form districts are the most densely developed parts of the city where there is often ample street parking available as well as structured parking. And our form districts are a very minimal component to areas zoned within the city. It's our downtown. It's the denser parts of Lincoln Park and Spirit Valley neighborhoods, but very minimal areas within the city and solely those areas that are fairly densely commercial in nature. And so that is the intent, is that there is an abundance of parking solutions. And in particular, there's an abundance of parking solutions in an off-peak time period when there is the greatest demand for parking by vacation dwelling units.
Councilor Mayo.
President Kennedy, and follow up on another one of these changes that's in that same package, the solar panel one. Is that, would the new setback requirements only apply to solar panels that would be mounted to, say, a garage or a shed or some other existing building that's on that property? It wouldn't be if they're freestanding. They wouldn't have updates to those setbacks. It would simply be those ones attached to structures.
President Kennedy and Councilor Mayo, the intent here is to provide for solar panels in locations where they might otherwise be required to be set back further, and it's not necessarily practical to limit that on a garage or a house.
Okay, awesome.
I do see another hand up. Vice President Randorf, if we could stay on the same item, if it's a different item, we could certainly move on.
Thank you. I'll follow up on that, since thank you so much, President Kennedy, if I can. In weekend language, that accessory structured decks, what is this one saying? How are we changing what the code was originally for the deck structures in this?
Thank you, President Kennedy and Councilor Vice President Randorf. The goal here is to clarify what constitutes a deck for purposes of an attached deck or a detached deck. There have been instances, and these amendments are solely corrections in nature, and it's clarifications to ensure that any determinations made by staff are clarified in code. And in this particular instance, there was not a clarifying standard that provided for any level of detail about what constituted a detached deck. And so developers might, in some instances, put a deck an inch or 2 inches away from a house and say, well, that's detached. For purposes of the building code, it is a detached structure. However, for purposes of zoning, it functions as part of the principal dwelling unit and should therefore follow the requirements of the house, because it is essentially an attached structure. So solely for those decks that are that greater distance away, would they then be something that constitutes detached from the principal dwelling?
Thank you.
All right, councilors. Again, we'd like to stay on Ordinance 1, Item 40. More hands up. Any other items? Maybe we could look at ordinance 2, number 41, if there's any questions. I do have a question on that one. Mr. Fulton, or Director Fulton, I'm wondering, could you explain to us how this was identified and the process to changing the zoning within the comp plan?
Thank you, President Kennedy. Councilors, this site is a 0.7-acre site that is currently zoned both R2 and R1. And so this would simply clarify that zoning to be a single zoning of R2 over the whole parcel. I do want to clarify something in the packet, which notes that this would be a 24,000 square foot office. You know, this was included by the applicant. We have subsequently communicated with the applicant, and they understand and are accepting of the fact that in the R2 district, medical office is limited to 10,000 square feet in gross. And so a 24,000 square foot office building would not be permissible. The comprehensive plan for this area is traditional neighborhood. And so the intent here is that typically in traditional neighborhood, it is zoned either R1 or R2, which provides for a range of those single family to multifamily dwellings that would typically be found in a traditional neighborhood in the community.
I do have one follow-up. Would it be ineligible for a variance if there was a request, or could the developer request a variance of any type to change the building size or anything?
President Kennedy, councilors, a variance request to dimensional standards related to setbacks or something of that nature would be a permissible variance. Use variances are not permissible. And so in this case, the use that is permitted in that district is a medical office up to 10,000 square feet. And so it would constitute a use variance to go above that. And under Minnesota law, use variances are not permissible. So you could not construct a structure absent a legislative change by the Planning Commission and Council to go over 10,000 square feet in size.
It couldn't be bigger, but it could move around some.
If President Kennedy, councilors, if variances were granted from the setbacks, and again, we don't have a site plan. This is solely a rezoning action.
Thank you so much. Councilors, hopefully we're staying on the same item, number 41. I see Councilor Mayo.
On that square footage piece, since the original intention was that 24,000 square feet and now it's down to 10, have there been any conversations with that applicant of, I believe they own a parcel as well that is R2 currently, of using just that parcel to construct their 10,000 foot structure, or would they still need that rezoning in order to implement their plan?
President Kennedy, councilors, Councilor Mayo, this has been discussed with the applicant's architect, and they have been informed of that. They have not discussed other, you know, paradigm modifications to this. This would be understood to be a single lot at this time. That does not mean they could not propose some modifications in the future to the overall lot layout. But at present, it's a single lot, single development, as we understand it.
And then just to follow up, if I may, can you just explain for the rest of the council, there were a couple of us that were at that planning meeting, but the next steps that would come after this in terms of vacating the street, I believe, is another step that would have to happen. And if there would need to be a variance, but I don't know, from what you just explained, there might not be anymore.
President Kennedy, councilors, subsequent to a rezoning, if an applicant wishes to proceed with a medical office use in this location, it is my recollection, although I don't have the code in front of me, that this requires a special use permit, which would require subsequent Planning Commission approval. Planning Commission is the approving body for special use permits. That could be appealed by neighbors if that was something that was pursued. The applicant may pursue a vacation or partial vacation of Elizabeth Street in this area. They have not indicated that they intend to do so, but that's certainly something they could do. Upon development of a site plan, if they wish to modify the setbacks, they could apply for a variance, and that would be judged based on the possibility related to practical difficulty and reasonableness consistent with city code.
So in other words, this might not be the last we see of this project from council level, or it could come to planning, I guess, is what the next step would be.
President Kennedy, councilors, I would expect that the bulk of any remaining actions related to this would likely be conducted at the Planning Commission level with a public hearing and a vote by the Planning Commission. Thanks.
Mayo, Vice President Randor.
Thank you, President Kennedy. Just one final question on that as well, Director Fulton. So regardless of the developer, this is, since we have an R2 lot adjacent to it, we're still looking at rezoning this to an R2 lot, regardless of whatever developer is in the background. Is that correct?
President Kennedy and Vice President Randorf, councilors, this is a request for a rezoning of 0.7 acres. The site is currently split zoned, so it is zoned R1 and R2. This would bring the entire site into that R2 zoning district.
Thank you.
And it is not related to the development. It is related solely to the zoning of the site.
Got it. Thank you.
Good councilors, any other questions on item number 41? Not seeing any. I will ask for any councilor questions on item 42. Third of the items. Not seeing any. All right. I believe we are adjourned. Thank you. We start 5:45 on Monday.